Father, we thank you for your tangible presence. You are so amazing. Not just when we are here, but everywhere, Lord. Help us to sense that everywhere. To seek that everywhere. To grow so much in our awareness of you, that wherever we are, we're counting on you. Take authority over everything that would keep us from hearing what you have to say today. We bind you, Satan, for you cannot steal or destroy what the Lord intends. That place of protection surrounding our minds so that we hear what the Spirit of the Lord would say. Yes. Yes. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. A person who has never been around a droid wouldn't recognize droid. You know? And some would say it thundered. Some would say, what is that? My phone knocked in my pocket. And I thought, what is somebody doing sending emails? They should be in church. If you didn't hear it, there was a phone over here that went, droid. That's what I'm talking about. But if you didn't hear it, then you didn't hear it. When it comes to the voice of God, there was a time where they said, some said it thundered. But it was the voice of God saying, you are pleasing to me. And he was talking to Jesus, and he still talks to Jesus, and Jesus dwells in you. He dwells in us richly. That's what the Word of God says. And if you can believe, all things are possible to them that believe. Last week I had a dream, and it was a peculiar dream. I was standing here preaching, and I realized that I was preaching in my underwear. And it was sort of uncomfortable. But I was still preaching in my underwear. And then I was just laying up here. Gone. And the presence of God was just moving in the place. I knew that the presence of God was moving in the place. And I quit worrying about the fact that I was laying here in my underwear. I quit thinking about anything. But then I thought about the dream later, and I thought, wow, that's a weird dream. A long time ago, Vicki Slager had a hard time with the idea of standing naked before God. I was thankful that I was in my underwear, at least. But you know, there was a time, I believe it was Ezekiel, who laid around naked for a long period of time. There are things that we don't totally understand. But the major thing that I got from preaching in my underwear, besides thankfulness that it was only a dream, was that there's no pretense. There was nothing, almost nothing, hidden. And there's a purpose for us to live that way, to be comfortable that way. Because one of the things that I noticed was, even as I was preaching, I knew that I was preaching the Word of God, and once in a while I would be distracted by the fact that I was in my underwear. Nobody seemed to be too concerned about the fact that I was in my underwear. I don't remember anybody pointing or wondering or anything like that. So maybe I was the only one that knew I was in my underwear. Maybe I was shrouded so that that wasn't to be seen. But I also was overcome by the presence of God. And I think about times when they talk about in the Pentecostal revival, when there were times where people would preach with their head in a box. There would be a voice coming out from the box of the pulpit. There would be people just lying about, and God doing marvelous things in their lives, and people just being transformed. And I think that if we can believe it, we can receive it. If we can desire those things will manifest. And because of that, the Lord and I were driving along, and I had that scripture that came to my mind about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. And, you know, that scripture has always been, you know, it's kind of a symbol type thing. And I've always taken it as a symbol-like thing, and the deepest that I've ever gotten into it was thinking, I can sort of see why people walked away, because it was a little confusing. And I recognized the one important thing that Peter said, where are we going to go? You're the words of life. But still, every time I read the Bible, that verse is still there. And previous to that verse, Jesus is talking about, I am the bread that comes down from heaven. I am the bread of life. And if you don't eat this bread, you won't have any life in you. And I know that we have communion, we remember that this is in remembrance of him. And the thing that the Lord spoke to me is I considered and wondered and pondered. He just said one word. He said, digest it. In other words, you've got to digest it. We need to not be bulimic with the Word of God, but we need to eat it, chew it, swallow it, digest it. And this, I believe, was what Jesus was saying. You've got to digest this. Now see, in the Old Testament, the scripture says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And so much of the time, they treated it like a wine tasting. At a wine tasting, they slosh it around in their mouth and they spit it out. And then they go to the next one to taste it. Now, of course, if I went to a wine tasting before I was saved, there would be no spitting it out. I might slosh it around, but there would be, you know, give me the rest of the bottle. I mean, I would be like a child who feels deprived when they come and there's grape juice and it's just that little bitty cup. Why can't I have a whole bunch? Can I have another? You know? Why can't I have more? You know, my children have always been, you know, just a little bit extra blessed, because if there was leftovers, they would chug the extras, you know. Not taking communion, but drinking the juice. I've enjoyed on numerous times when there was extras and coming over in the morning, early in the morning, and being able to have communion because I was sitting there ready to go. You know? But I can take communion with my coffee. I can, because I want to digest the Lord. But anyway, he said, if you don't eat my flesh, if we don't take it in and allow it to be the bread of life, allow it to produce what it says it will produce. That's eating his flesh. That's partaking of the bread of life. That is partaking of it until it is life. Have you ever been working and gone too long without food until you really know that you need food? And then when you finally have food, the difference that a little food makes. refreshing, bringing back some life to it. You know, I sub for Mr. Lamont, and Mr. Lamont has a drawer of candy bars and things like that because he's a diabetic, and so at a given time he has to reach for whatever it is. We'll just straighten him out. And, you know, if you've been around anyone that has that, then that's the case. Well, you know, that's why when you watch professional football players, I have never seen it on basketball, I'm sure they must, but those guys will come to the sidelines and they'll have oxygen for them. So they get some straight oxygen. They get that oxygen. They get that sustenance from us. Well, the Lord is the bread of life. He's our sustenance. He's that place. He's that person that we need to go to, and we need to partake of enough so that we are continuing. Years ago, I heard Peter Lord speak a message about you are what you eat. And we'll manifest what we eat. So if we eat more of the news than we do of the Word, we'll manifest the news. If we digest more of fearful things than we do of faithful things, we will manifest those things that we digest the most of. You know, Jesus said, in this world you'll have tribulation. Hey, we found it. But he said, don't worry about it. Don't worry about those things. Well, how can you not worry about those things? Well, if Jesus says I shouldn't, I shouldn't. I don't know if I told you, I received a phone call from a guy the other night, and he said, now, I have as much faith as you or anybody. I thought, well, that's a good lead that tells me you don't have much faith. But he wanted to premise what he said with the fact of, it's not that I don't trust God, but we're going down. This world is going down. Well, I float up. Because God's in charge. He's not in charge of everything, but he's in charge of me. He's in charge of you. Give God charge. And when we have the bread of life in us, then we have something to resist that overwhelming sense of death and destruction. That spirit of hopelessness that comes just when we're about to break through. Thought I had it made, and bummer. Keep thinking you do. Keep pressing on the Word of God. He didn't want it to be a taste test. And Jesus said, and you've got to drink my blood. There's power in the blood. What is in the blood? The blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ. What did he accomplish? Did he only accomplish enough for us to take communion? Did he only accomplish enough so that we would have hope for heaven someday? Remember when Lazarus died? They were confident. I'm sorry. They were confident that someday Jesus would raise him up. Oh, I know. Someday he'll be raised up with you, Lord. I know. But if you'd have been here, we wouldn't have to wait so long. And Jesus said, hey, I'm here now. I'm here now. So what he said to us today, it's enough, I'm here. Whew! Glory to God. It's enough. Every time, everywhere, anytime, it's enough, I'm here. It's enough. It's enough. He seems to think it's enough. Can we agree with him that it's enough that he's here? Can we declare, you're here, and if you are for me, then nothing, no weapon formed against me will prosper if you are here, and you are here. Has he left? He said, I won't leave you alone. I won't leave you orphans. I won't leave you without hope. I won't leave you without help. Is it enough? Unfortunately, we all have moments where we'd never say it. We'd never say God's not enough. But he's just not enough. He just isn't doing anything, even though he said he is. Say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and it'll be done. Will it be done instantaneously? Doesn't matter. It'll be done. It's enough. I'm here. Agree. It's enough. It's enough. We need to learn to say to ourselves, enough of this foolish talk. Enough of this doubt. Enough of this fear. Enough of that. Anybody ever said, that's it, I've had enough? We should learn to say that to the enemy. And then we should declare joyously, I've got enough. More than enough. I've got God on my side. That blood sacrifice of Jesus drowned hell and gave power to them that will believe. Now some will hear the word of God and say it thundered. Boy, Roger was loud today. And to others, it will be that sweet, silent voice of God that spoke louder than anything I could speak. I want so much to get to all things, but I'm understanding that until these things, all these things that the birds don't even get concerned about, until these things are just expected, we set ourselves up for a fall on all things. And think about it. How many sincere, well-intentioned Christians bought the idea of faith, but skipped all these things and walked out into all things only to be disappointed by all things and give up on everything? Catching a little glimpse of it and saying, okay. And it wasn't that the all things weren't possible, it was that they were such easy targets for the devil, because he knew they hadn't even covered these things. What they would eat, what they would wear, the simple things. Hadn't even really believed that God would take care of those things. And there they are, out after all things. They're like the seven sons of Sceva that said, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, we adjure you, come out of him. And he said, well, we know Jesus. And we know Paul, but you're gone. Now, they maybe wouldn't have gotten beat up if they had been ready for that, but they weren't. They were trying some things out. See, that's the problem. So many times people are trying out faith. Like test driving a vehicle. Sometimes the dealerships will say, you know, $50 just for trying out a vehicle. I wonder how many people go try a vehicle they would never buy. But hey, for $50, You know, hey, I've got credit cards that said we'll give you $100 if you spend $300 in the first 3 months. I'll take the $100. I might never use that card again unless they got real good paybacks. They want to give me $100 to use their card. I can spend $300 in 3 months, no problem. Because I always have a card in my name and Vicky's name. She's not the only one to spend, so don't get that wrong. But you understand, we got this try it. People have treated, taste and see that the Lord is good, like taste. But the thing is most of us, if we taste something that's good, we want more of it, right? If I taste something that's good, I want more. And I really have an ability to eat lots if I want to. And I have an ability to not eat much if I don't want to. But if it tastes good, anybody that has been around me when I eat, I can feed my taste buds beyond my capacity. We can all do that, can't we? Sometimes I get a hankering for candy. I don't eat a lot of candy, but when I get a hankering for candy, I need to get away from candy. I like those little bite-sized candy bars, and I keep them frozen in the refrigerator. And I get one, and I get another one before I open the first one, and I have one in my pocket, and then I go back to the fridge before I leave home and get a couple more, and then I've got them, and they just taste good. And I just eat those little critters because I just like the taste of them. And other times I won't have one for a long, long time. But once I've tasted it. See, we need to be that way when it comes to God. When he says taste and see that the Lord is good, he meant for us to taste and eat to the full and digest until it manifests. And drink my blood. Know the blood of Jesus until the blood of Jesus isn't just, that's weird, drinking blood. But it's, yes, I have the blood of Jesus flowing through my body. And what did the blood of Jesus do? And what can the blood of Jesus do? And the blood that keeps me free from day to day will never lose its power. That's how we need to partake of that blood until that blood is what he meant for it to be. It wasn't meant to be more of an assignment than they could stand. But you see, many went away. They said, this is too difficult. Did they understand that what he was saying was partake of it and live it? Or did they just have that thing in their head that said, well, we know he fed 5,000, but there ain't enough of him to go around. He said to the people, you're after me because you ate and you were satisfied. They ate and they were satisfied. We need to partake of Jesus until we're satisfied. And then keep being satisfied. Because unless we do that, we will always be in a minefield for the all things. We'll always be on dangerous ground because we will hope that it could be all things, but we won't really believe all things, and yet we're supposed to believe all things, and so we'll try to stand for all things, and then all things will disappoint us. And the only reason they'll disappoint us is because we're still worried about these things. Look at the sparrow, Jesus said. Look at him. He doesn't worry about a thing. I want to read something to you. We'll do this here first. That's not what I want. Got to find what you want, you know. You have to be willing to keep looking until you find what you want, right? And so I'll keep looking. Because God will remind me of what I'm looking for. And then, in the meantime, you'll all wonder, will he really find it? But he will. Some section hands, this is Billy Graham, on a British railroad found a thrush nest under a rail, peacefully sitting on her eggs. The hen was undisturbed by the roar of the fast trains above her and around her. Someone has written a little verse which goes, "Said the robin to the sparrow, I should really like to know, why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so?" Said the sparrow to the robin, "Friend, I think that it must be they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me." Jesus used the carefree attitude of the birds to underscore the fact that worrying is unnatural. It's unnatural. Worrying is not a natural function. Why are we so good at it? Because we've practiced. I'm learning in my own life day by day to keep my mind centered on Christ and the worries and the anxieties and the concerns of the world pass, and nothing but perfect peace is left in the human heart. God has taken the responsibility for our care and worry. Lord Jesus, I'm happiest when I'm fully trusting you. This day, help me to be constantly grateful for your care and faithfulness. Said the sparrow to the robin, "Friend, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me." Jesus cares for you and me. To act like he doesn't is a sin. Because it says God's a liar. Now see, we have to eat his flesh and drink his blood until we'll receive that. Until we can receive and face the fact that to doubt God is to call him a liar, and that is a sin. Isn't it? And our flesh wants to say, but nobody's perfect. What our flesh should say, I will get there. Because you see, that same body, that same bread, and that same wine, that same blood paid for our sins, past, present, and future. The forgiveness is already provided. All we have to do is step into it. That's all there is to it. His grace is abundant. The same grace that saves us will keep us. We've got to believe that. You see, these are some of the little things that are necessary for the all things, and we need to be people of all things because we of all things are coming. I believe it was Elijah that God said to, "If the footmen have wearied you, what will you do when they come on the horses?" And Jesus came to say, let them come on foot, let them come on horses, let them come in jet planes, let them come with suicide bombs, let them come any way that they want to come, no weapon formed against you will prosper. You are my instruments, says the Lord. You are my right hand, says the Lord. Wow. That's pretty awesome. We shall not fear when the terror comes near, for we are servants of God. But we have to get past the taste test into the eat and digest and wash it down with the blood of the Lamb. For the blood that keeps us free from day to day will never, ever, ever, never, never, ever lose its power. If you can believe it, all things are possible to them that believe. And Jesus said, you came because you ate and you were satisfied. Now here's the deal. Partake of the bread of life. Drink of my blood. Because that's what you experienced the taste of. That was satisfaction. And the people said, whoa, we didn't know that's what we did. This is too much. And they walked away. But the disciples said, for the life of me, I don't understand it either. But where are we going to go? We've been with you so long. We know that life comes out of being around you. I'll take the way of the Lord's anointed few. I started out with Jesus. I'm going through. We've got to keep going. We've got to keep pressing. We've got to keep believing. We've got to keep moving until all things just seem to be like these things. God will manifest the responsibilities on Him. God has chosen to keep us. God has chosen to provide for us. God has chosen to forgive us. God made those choices. And we need only to present ourselves to Him in order to receive that. I think it's Heidi Baker who said that she just came to the place where she just believed everything was God's responsibility and miracles just started to manifest. Dead raised. Eyes put in the sockets where there were no eyes. Little children, just eyes growing, and all of a sudden a child can see, limbs growing, every manner of a miracle, and she just believed. But even if that, folks, is not just about the miracles. The miracles are great, but people can experience a miracle and never eat and never drink and not follow Jesus anyway. That's why Jesus said you got to go and make disciples. Make disciples. Make disciples. To make disciples, people have to desire to be disciples. Disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. To do and be what the Lord Jesus Christ did and was and is forevermore. It is enough, He said today. I'm here. It's enough. That's awesome. It's enough. Now there is a declaration and a great compliment there. He's hot. He said, I'm here. It's enough. I'm here. But you know, it's like, okay, I'm here. Now what? And we go, oh, that's nice. Or we go, maybe He's here, maybe He's not. Or we go, He's here, and we run to Him. And we lay a request at His feet, knowing that we have those things that we've asked of Him. What's our response to His saying, it's enough, I'm here? Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for You. So that then you and I, with the same confidence that Jesus had, say, hey, God's here. Boom. Demons fled. People were healed. If Jesus didn't have a pocket full of money, there was a fish acting as a safe. Because He had confidence in the Father. Do we have confidence in the Father? Do we have confidence in Jesus Christ? Can we be as the birds who say, oh, we have a Heavenly Father taking care of us? I have a blessed Redeemer, one who gave His flesh and His blood for me, and I'm filled up with that. Indeed, taste all the things of God and fill up your plate with all of them. And believe. Believe God. And prepare your heart and your mind for all things. Nothing. Nothing. Nothing is impossible for God. Amen? Father, hallelujah. You are here. It's enough when you're here. And you are always present. You said, lo, I would never leave you or forsake you. You're always present. It's enough that you're present. More than enough. Thank you for your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.